group as if to catch up with the vanguard walkers, now dropping back towards Stepan's position on drag. He lost one of his three warnings and gained it back 5 minutes later. Garrity decided he must like it there on the edge of nothing. Stebbins just kept on walking off by himself. Garrity hadn't seen him speak to anybody. He wondered if Stebbins was lonely or tired. He still thought Stebbins would fold up early, maybe first, although he didn't know why he thought so. Stebbins had taken off the old green sweater, and he carried the last jelly sandwich in his hand. He looked at no one. His face was a mask. They walked on. The road was crossed by another, and policemen were holding up traffic as the walkers passed. They saluted each walker, and a couple of the boys, secure in their immunity, thumbed their noses. Garrity didn't approve. He smiled and nodded to acknowledge the police, and wondered if the police thought they were all crazy. The cars honked, and then some woman yelled out to her son. She had parked beside the road, apparently waiting to make sure her boy was still along for the walk.
"Percy! Percy!"
It was 31. He blushed, then waved a little, and then hurried on with his head slightly bent. The woman tried to run out into the road. The guards on the top deck of the half-track stiffened, but one of the policemen caught her arm and restrained her gently. Then the road curved, and the intersection was out of sight. They passed across a wooden slatted bridge. A small brook gurgled its way underneath. Garrity walked close to the railing, and looking over, he could see, for just a moment, a distorted image of his own face. They passed a sign which read Limestone 7 miles, and then under, a rippling banner which said, "Limestone is proud to welcome the Long Walkers." Garrity figured they had to be less than a mile from breaking the record. Then the word came back, and this time the word was about a boy named Curly, number 7. Curly had a Charlie horse and had already picked up his first warning. Garrity put on some speed and came even with McVries and Olson. "Where is he?" Olson jerked his thumb at a skinny, gangling boy in blue jeans. Curly had been trying to cultivate sideburns. The sideburns had failed. His lean and earnest face was now set in lines of terrific concentration, and he was staring at his right leg. He was favoring it. He was losing ground, and his face showed it.
"Warning! Warning, 7!
Curly began to force himself faster. He was panting a little. As much from fear as from his exertions, Garrity thought. Garrity lost all track of time. He forgot everything but Curly. He watched him struggle, realizing in a numb sort of way that this might be his struggle an hour from now, or a day from now. It was the most fascinating thing he had ever seen. Curly fell back slowly, and several warnings were issued to others before the group realized they were adjusting to his speed in their fascination, which meant Curly was very close to the edge.
"Warning! Warning, 7! Third warning, 7!
"I've got a Charlie horse!"
Curly shouted hoarsely.
"It ain't no fair if you've got a Charlie horse!"
He was almost beside Garrity now. Garrity could see Curly's Adam's apple going up and down. Curly was massaging his leg frantically, and Garrity could smell panic coming off Curly in waves, and it was like the smell of a ripe, freshly cut lemon. Garrity began to pull ahead of him, and the next moment, Curly exclaimed,
"Thank God, she's loosening!"
No one said anything. Garrity felt a grudging disappointment. It was mean and unsporting, he supposed, but he wanted to be sure someone got a ticket before he did. Who wants to bow out first? Garrity's watch said 11:05 now. He supposed that meant they had beaten the record, figuring 2 hours times 4 miles an hour. They would be in Limestone soon. He saw Olson flex first one knee, then the other again. Curious, he tried it.